Good afternoon. My name is Stefan Collishaw and I'm a researcher at Cardiff University. And I'm going to talk to you today about children's mental health and why it's important, how mental health was assessed in the most recent Schoen school surveys, and how the feedback that you'll be getting in your school reports should be interpreted when we think about young people's mental health in schools. The first thing to say is that mental health is everyone's business and everyone has mental health, just as we all have physical health. And it's important that families, young people themselves, schools and doctors pay attention to mental health just as we pay attention to physical health when difficulties can arise. When thinking about the common types of difficulties that young people might experience with their mental health, one can think of three broad categories of the most common types of difficulties. The first is what we call emotional difficulties and can include feelings of anxiety and fears, as well as feeling depressed or down. The second common type of problem area that many children and young people might experience include neurodevelopmental problems. So this includes symptoms of hyperactivity, inattention, impulsivity, as well as social and communication difficulties, which can be part of an autism spectrum type presentation. Very often, ADHD type symptoms and autism spectrum type symptoms go hand in hand with other types of difficulties that affect children's learning. The third category of problem type area that we think about when we assess children's mental health relates to children's behaviour, whether that be oppositional or disruptive behaviour or conduct type problems such as aggression or violence. So why is mental health important? Well, mental health problems are a major source of distress to children and young people and can have major impacts on their life satisfaction as well as substantial impacts on other areas of children's lives. This includes their education, with children with mental health problems finding it more difficult to learn, to achieve their full potential in terms of qualifications, and increasing the risk for truancy and school exclusion. Children with mental health problems also very often face difficulties in their friendships and their peer relationships, finding it more difficult sometimes to make friends, to enjoy the friendships that they do have, and also increasing the risk and the likelihood of being bullied by other children. Mental health problems in children and young people can be a burden and can have an impact on family life, on relationships with parents and with siblings. And it's known that mental health problems and physical health problems can very often co-occur. Now, for some children, mental health problems can be short-lived and resolved by themselves. But for other children, there can be long-lasting effects on health and development. And we know that the majority, over 75% of adult mental health problems, have their roots in mental health problems seen in childhood and young and adolescents. Mental health problems are not only important for young people themselves, but they can have impacts on those around them, on families, as well as on children and teachers in the classroom at school. So it's important to really get a sense of early who is experiencing mental health difficulties and what can be done to help those children. So I'll start by giving you some facts and figures from a very large English survey that was carried out 2 years ago by experts in the area of child and adolescent mental health. And using detailed clinical assessments and ratings by clinicians, the survey found that 1 in 7 secondary school age children in this age group, 11 to 16, experienced not only the symptoms, but impairments associated with these common types of mental health problems. An important observation in this survey, and that's seen in other surveys around the world, is that particularly anxiety and depression show a marked increase over adolescence. So from 11 through to 16 and beyond, anxiety and depression can become more common concerns amongst young people. It's also true that mental health difficulties aren't evenly distributed across the whole young population of young people, and it can be a particular concern for some vulnerable groups, for example, children who are bullied, or children with special educational needs, or children from socially disadvantaged households. In this survey, children and young people were also asked who they sought help from when they experienced problems with their mental health. And surprisingly, perhaps, the most common source of support that young people reported was from teachers and others in the school setting. And importantly, the vast majority of young people rated that support as very helpful that they received in the school. So how do we measure mental health? Well, it's important to recognise that mental health lies on a continuum, a bit like blood pressure, and the way that we think and the support that we provide to young people who are experiencing difficulties with their mental health needs to be matched against the severity of difficulties that they're experiencing. And in when we assess mental health, it's important that we use validated, normed assessments. So measures where we know that there we have solid benchmarks and national norms against which we can compare the scores that we receive on these questionnaires. And good measures will have been validated against more detailed clinical assessments of mental health. As I've sort of explained, there are a whole range of different difficulties that children and young people can experience in their behaviour, in the way that they relate with other children and others around them, as well as with their own emotions, feelings of anxiety and depression, for example. And so it's important that measures of mental health capture that range and the different types of difficulties that young people can experience. So in the 2019 Schoen survey, for the first time, we included a measure called the Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire. It's a measure that we often refer to as the SDQ for short, and it's used across the world to assess children's mental health. The Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire has now been used in representative samples in over 50 different countries, and has, at the latest count, has been translated into more than 80 different languages. The Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire is a brief screening questionnaire which includes 5 questions each, assessing 5 domains of children's mental health. Their emotional mental health, so for example, feelings of fear, anxiety and depression. Hyperactivity and inattention is the second domain. The third domain relates to behavioural difficulties, things like stealing, and lying and aggression. A fourth domain relates to how well children are able to get on with those around them, for example, the quality of their friendships. And then a fifth domain focuses on areas of strength, so broadly speaking, pro-social behaviour. Importantly, the SDQ has now been validated many times against gold standard clinical interviews in large representative population samples. And in the school reports that you will receive, you will get a summary report of at a group level for how children completed the SDQ. And that summary report will be split for each of the 5 different domains that I mentioned, as well as by key stage, so key stage 3 and key stage 4. And then each of the domains, for example, in terms of emotional problems, the report will highlight the percentage of children who are scoring close to average, the percentage of scoring who have slightly raised scores, those who have high scores, and for some, those who have very high scores. Now, it's important to remember that at an individual level for any given child, the SDQ is not a diagnostic tool, but it can be used to identify particular areas of strength or concern for children and for groups of children. The report will also provide benchmarks against the national average in Wales, and importantly, in future, will allow schools to track their progress in improving children's mental health. So this is what the school report will look like, and this is an example figure. It looks quite complicated, but I'll talk you through it. So you'll see that the figure provides ratings for each of the 5 different domains that I talked about: pro-social behaviour, behavioral problems, which we call conduct problems, hyperactivity and attention, peer problems, as well as emotional symptoms of anxiety and depression. And for each of these domains, you will see that there will be four bars. The first bar provides scores for key stage 3 in the score. The second bar provides scores for key stage 4. And then the third and fourth bar in each block provide the national averages in key stage 3 and key stage 4. So if we look, for example, at the right-hand block for emotional symptoms of depression and anxiety, we can see that 73% in this example of children in key stage 3 had scores that were close to average. 9% had slightly raised scores, 7% had high scores, and around 1 in 10, 12% had very high scores. Now you can see against the national average, this school had better ratings of mental health and problems were perhaps more prevalent at the national level. So that's one way of thinking about interpreting the reports that you will be given. It's important to recognise, however, that this is not the only, that this shouldn't just be taken in isolation. And there are a whole other range of measures and figures that are included in the report that are relevant in terms of thinking about children's mental health and well-being. For example, ratings of life satisfaction, ratings and reports on friendships, experiences of bullying, and so forth. The other thing to add is that the appendix to the report will provide, at the back of the report, will provide more detailed information about the questions that map onto each of the different five domains that are captured by the SDQ. And so with that, I wanted to say thank you for listening to me, and thanks.